translation. Thereafter, Lord Vishnu entered the demons as the quality of passion, the demigods as the quality of goodness, and Vasuki as the quality of ignorance, to encourage them and increase their various types of strength and energy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Everyone in this material world is under the different modes of material nature. There were three different parties in the churning of Mandara Mountain: the demigods, who were in the mode of goodness, the demons, who were in the mode of passion, and the snake Vasuki, who was in the mode of ignorance. Since they were all becoming tired, Vasuki so much so that he was almost going to die, Lord Vishnu, to encourage them to continue the work of churning the ocean, entered into them according to their respective modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Amagyana Timrandasya Gananjana Shilaka Chokshomali Tamina Tasmai Sri Gurveya Namaha. I was born blinded by the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual masters are opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and I therefore offer my humble obeisances unto them. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishnapstaya Bhutale Srimate Sri Dainanda Goswami Nityanamani. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishnapstaya Bhutale Srimate Shivaram Swami Nityanamani. Mam Vishnupadaya Krishnapstaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamani. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prasakacha Deshatarine Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langaite Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vandeshi Girandina Tarnam. Shinvatasharyanityam Grinatascha Kalinana Tadirgena Bhagavan Vishute Hridi. Persons who regularly hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and who are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead manifested within their hearts within a very short time. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudadaya Prasbandvanto Chitra Shando Tanamonado. I offer my humble obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who have arisen simultaneously over the horizon of Gaudadesh, just like the sun and the moon, to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and to wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Tatasaran avishad asurena rupena tesham balavirium irayan udipayan deva ganams javishnur daivena nagendram aboda rupaha. Thereafter, Lord Vishnu entered the demons as the quality of passion, the demigods as the quality of goodness, and Vasuki as the quality of ignorance, to encourage them and increase their various types of strength and energy. There's a lot of lessons in this pastime, churning the milk ocean, and many lessons on many levels. The whole pastime kicks off with Indra being very proud, and when he's given this garland by Durvasa Muni, he's just very arrogant. It's the foremost quality of the demons, Dumbo. It's like in Bhagavad Gita, Dumbo Darpo Bhimanas Cha. The first quality is pride. So rather than honoring the garland, he put the garland on his elephant, and the elephant smashed it, and Durvasa Muni was very offended. And he cursed the demigods, and all their opulences were lost. And this is not just the first time. There's other occasions. Most notably, one time when Indra was In Amaravati, there in the center, sitting on his throne, and his spiritual master entered. And he was watching the dancing girls, and he was, you know, all the entertainment was in front of him. And he ignored his spiritual master. And by doing that, all his power, opulences dissolved. He lost everything. So the same things happened here. And what happens whenever the demigods lose their position, they seek out Krishna to take the humble position and try and regain their position. If they weren't to do that, they wouldn't be the demigods. If they were to simply resent, you know, the fact that their status has been lowered for whatever reason, if they were to resent that, then they would start moving towards the demoniac mentality. But because they take shelter of Krishna, then they Krishna carries what they lack and gives them back what they had. So then it's interesting what Krishna, how Krishna instructs them. He says, okay, we'll have a joint effort with the demons here. We'll churn the ocean of milk, and then so many wonderful things will come, and this is the game plan, churning of the ocean of milk. And he said to them that you have to simply go along with whatever happens. More or less, you have to cooperate with my arrangement. Don't be attached to the result. Krishna's giving very profound instructions here. Don't respond to what's happening immediately. Just have faith and understand by your faith that it will all pan out. It will all have a happy ending. And this is something that devotees must cultivate, not to see just the immediate cause of something, but to understand there's a remote cause to everything. And as long as we're following the process of Krishna consciousness, then whatever hardships and whatever obstacles and whatever tribulations we may come across are there for a purpose. They are there for a purpose, and they have their efficacy. Efficacy means that it will create the desired effect ultimately. Those trials, tribulations, and obstacles are there simply as stepping stones for us to achieve the higher goal. We have to have that faith. There was one essay Srila Prabhupada wrote, called Truth and Beauty. Because most people don't have this faith that whatever's, you know, that because most people aren't under the shelter of Krishna, so they don't have the faith. It's understandable. If you're just simply taking shelter of the modes of material nature, how is it going to pan out transcendental? It can't, because there are the modes of nature and then there's the transcendental energy. They don't mix. They're mutually exclusive. Either you're transcendental and you're beyond the modes, or you're in the modes and you're not transcendental. So if you're under the modes, you're not going to understand this vision of how everything's going to have a happy ending. But if you have faith in God, and if you have faith in the spirit, the process of Krishna consciousness, then you can also be very optimistic. Utsaha nishchaya daryat, enthusiastic, confident, and patient. Wait for it to happen. In this essay of Truth and Beauty, Prabhupada was reassuring people that the truth is beautiful. Because generally people don't believe that. They, you know, I mean, every Sankirtan devotee knows people are tending to become very, you know, cynical, really cynical, pessimistic, you know, and this classic one of, you know, how come bad things happen to good people? And why is it that sometimes good things happen to bad people? I mean, if this is what's going on, then, you know, it's not very good. I don't agree, and can't be a God in charge if he's letting all this happen. The truth, you know, if God's the truth, then the truth isn't very beautiful, because look at the world. Look at the state of the world. And people become very cynical and very disillusioned. But Prabhupada wrote this essay, Truth and Beauty, to reassure everyone that the truth is beautiful. But you have to just wait. You have to be patient. You have to be enthusiastic, confident, and patient. You have to have faith in Krishna to understand that the truth is beautiful. So this is what Krishna was trying to instill in the demigods. Understand that the truth is beautiful. You have to be patient, you know, because part of the truth is understanding our own position. That we are not the supreme controllers and the enjoyers. If you're in the illusion that we are the controllers and enjoyers, you won't understand the truth, because there's a contradiction right there. I'll maybe touch on that a bit further on. So then we come to the demons. You know, the demons have got this mentality, this very duplicitous mentality. Even when the demigods approached them and said, let's churn the milk ocean, this is going to be mutually beneficial. Win-win. You guys win and we win. You know, we'll get all these wonderful things coming out of the ocean. We'll get the nectar of immortality. We can share that together. Everyone's going to be happy. So the demon said, yeah, we're in. Okay, let's go. But all the time they had the mentality that when this nectar is churned, we're not going to give any to the demigods. We're just going to keep it for ourselves. There's a whole duplicitous mentality right there. It reminded me of this, and it was kind of a humorous story. One time there was this priest and this rabbi, and they were driving around town, and they had this head-on collision. And they were driving quite quickly. The cars were totally written off. But somehow they came out of the cars and they didn't even have a scratch on them. And then they noticed that, you know, they're both, you know, this is a rabbi and this is a priest. So they noticed this, and the rabbi says, wow, you're a man of God and I'm a man of God, and it's a miracle that we've not been harmed. And the priest said, yeah, completely. It's just amazing. The cars are finished. You know, how is it that we didn't get injured? And the rabbi said, another miracle has happened. A second miracle. So the priest says, what do you mean? And he said, look. And he pulled out of the wreckage of his car this bottle of whiskey. He said, the bottle's not been broken. Everything is smashed, all the cars, and this is still not broken. I think God wants us to have a drink, to have a toast to the miracle of God and how he's saved us on this occasion. And the priest said, yes, let's have a drink. So the rabbi gives him the bottle and he has a big swig of the whiskey. And he said, it's amazing. God works in such mysterious ways. And the rabbi says, he takes the bottle back. He says, it's just wonderful, isn't it? And the priest says, yes. And he says, have another drink. So the priest has another drink. And this goes back and forth, but the rabbi's not drinking. And then the priest suddenly notices, he's a little bit tipsy. He says, we're celebrating God. Why aren't you having a drink to celebrate God? And the rabbi says, I think I'll take my drink after the police report. So he's very cynical, you know. It's kind of a very duplicitous. He just set the guy up. He sort of set him up. Now he's going to be the drunk driver and he's going to get into trouble. So the demons had the same mentality. you know, let these guys just do the work, you know, and then we'll just get all the benefit. Let's exploit the opposition. So that's a contamination. And that contamination panned out later. You know, like the law of karma is inescapable. It's infallible and it's inescapable. So later on, when the nectar came and they had it in their hands, what happened? They started fighting amongst themselves. Me first. No, me first. Get out of the way. Me first. The division was there because there's a duality between, you know, in their concept of what is right and what is wrong. It's an interesting subject, you know. The whole criminal mentality is a very, very interesting subject. How does it come about? What's interesting also, just to keep in mind, you know, like in the modern world, because people are atheistic, they think there are people who are evil and there are people who are good. And there are people who are, they're evil, they're always going to be evil. There's nothing you can do, they're just evil. There is evil and there is good. But keep in mind that the demons and the demigods who are churning this ocean, who are, you know, the main players in this pastime, they have the same father. Kashyapa Muni is the father of the demons and the father of the demigods. Different mothers, but the same father. They're related. A demigod can become a demon. A demon can become a demigod. The most fallen person can become a saint. The most saintly person can become the most fallen. Because we have free will. So we have the freedom to determine our destinies. This competitiveness of the demons is something we have to also try and guard ourselves against. This ugly type of competitiveness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it explains that Nishida Achar Kutinata Jiva Himsam Labha Puja Pratishtadi. Yeah. So there are these weeds that sometimes look like creepers. Sometimes weeds look like creepers. And sometimes somebody may be very, very, it seems very eager to perform devotional service, very enthusiastic. It looks like the creeper of devotion. He's so fired up. But actually, what's motivating the person is this competitive spirit, this ugly competitive spirit, and it's actually a weed. It's not transcendental. It's just wanting to be, preeminent and the center, rather than the objective being to please Krishna. There's a selfishness there. But it looks like a creeper of devotion. There's one famous English politician, I think it was Disraeli, he once said that it's very important to know how to seize an opportunity. But he said often even more important is to know when to forego an advantage. Which means, you know, okay, great, you know, get ahead, you know, make your mark on the world. But it means not at the cost of trampling over others. Sometimes you have to forego an advantage. Sometimes you could make it to the top, But the cost is too great because you're going to, say, hurt somebody's feelings, or you're going to, you know, if it's at the cost of exploiting somebody and ripping somebody off, then making it to the top isn't worth it. It's only worth making it to the top if it's for Krishna's pleasure. And if it's not for Krishna's pleasure, if it's for your own sense of aggrandizement and ego, then don't go for it, because it's going to have, you know, these lessons are there in the Bhagavatam. Why not to do that? Because, and you know, to have power, you know, in whatever amount of power you have to have that same measure of renunciation. Otherwise, the power will corrupt you. You know, that's what they say. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Unless you're a pure devotee. If you have absolute power and you're a pure devotee, it's not going to corrupt you. Shukadeva Goswami once said, he said that, it's a powerful statement in the Bhagavatam. He said, to hell with the demigods and their opulences. He says, aho danyam, aho kastan. No, that's not it. Yayacha anamya kirita koti bi. Samridhi bipurusha buddhisakshinam. That's not it either. Sorry. Yayacha anamya kirita koti bi. Padosprisham achutam artasadanam. Siddhanta etena vigrihete mahan. Suregraha ashu nivritti ishta. Kirita koti bi. The demigods at one point, he says, they're putting the crowns on their heads to the ground. Pados brisham, touching the lotus feet of Krishna. Achyuta, Krishna's achyuta. Artha sadhanam, because they got something that they want. Just like here, they've approached Krishna. There's something they want. They're taking the humble position because there's something that they want. Then he says, Siddhanta etena vigrihate mahan. Once they've attained what they want, after having attained what they want, these great souls, mahans, these great demigods, they've chosen to fight Krishna. After they've achieved what they want, this is the pastime when Krishna took the Parijat flower. Before that, the demigods had stolen so many things from them. And they asked Krishna, please get them back. So Krishna went and brought all the things back. And they were very happy. But then he says, I'm taking his Parijat. And they said, no, you can't. That's exclusive to the demigods. You can't take that down to the earth where there's people who are on a lower level than us. And Krishna says, well, I am. And the demigod says, and then the demigods fought Krishna. There was a fight over the Parijat flower. And at that point, Shukadeva Goswami said, to hell with them and their opulence. You know, if that's the way they're going to be, to defend their opulence. It's very, you know, in a sense, of tardy mentality. But these examples are there for us to study and learn from. So then, as this pastime unfolds, what happens from the churning? Poison comes out first. So there's many lessons in this, you know, like if we're if we're performing devotional service, there's a certain churning that goes on because we're renouncing material life, we're taking up spiritual life, and we're churning this process of Krishna consciousness. We're cultivating knowledge and we're cultivating renunciation. There's a churning going on. And what happens? The poison comes out. You know, certain anattas and unwanted things come out. Tests. We get tested. And sometimes we fail the test. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaura Nitai ki jai, Iskand Guru Vrinda ki jai. Sometimes, you know, we fail a test because material energy is very strong. Prabhupada said it's like declaring war against the material energy. Sometimes the material energy just overwhelms us. but in this pastime of where the poison comes out, there is Lord Shiva to the rescue. And he drinks the ocean of poison. This great personality, Vaishnavanam Tatashambhu, the greatest Vaishnav comes and he drinks the poison. And then things can proceed. So there's one lesson there that when the going gets tough, you need to take shelter of a great personality. Because we can't make it unaided. It's not possible for a tiny jiva to cross the ocean of material existence unaided. The material energy is too powerful. Daivihyashagunamayi. Just way, way too powerful. We have to take shelter of a great personality. And then the other lesson is we can't imitate that great personality. I think it's in this, somewhere in either this chapter or the next. It says, Naitad samacharejjatu manasapi hunishvaraha vinashyat yacharan modyat tata yata rudra buddhisham visham. Visham is the word for poison. It says that we should not imitate great personalities, not even mentally. Manasapi, mana, not even in the mind. Hunishvaraha, these great controllers. Ishvaras. And if for some ridiculous reason a person who is not a great controller, who is an ordinary mundane personality, and if they try to imitate a great personality, vinashyat, they'll be destroyed. So I was thinking of this, you know, when the poison comes out and when the difficulties are there, and sometimes when we succumb to our own weaknesses, then I just was meditating how this, you know, we can look at Bhagavad Gita and think of that verse, Apichet Sudaracharo, Bhajate Mamananyabak Sadariva Samantavya Samyag Vavisanom Hisa, Vyavasito Hisa. That, you know, when it says there, on the extreme case, that even if you perform the most abominable activity, as long as you're properly situated in your determination, then you're to be considered saintly. So even if we have these setbacks, even if we do sometimes take up Maya's offer, then we should still understand that as long... It's like we should not become discouraged, but simply just put it behind us and just get on with the business of cultivating our devotional service. Get on with the business of the cultivation. Because it's not, you know, it requires cultivation. It requires conscious effort. You know, there's this thing about, Krishna consciousness is not Christianity. Christianity, you know, certain types anyway, is it's all by faith. You just got to believe in Jesus and he died on the cross for you. So you can, you know, it doesn't matter, after that, doesn't matter what you do, what you say, what you think. Jesus died on the cross for you, you're going to heaven. But that's, you know, it's it was Paul who developed this so-called theology. It's not even Jesus talking, but so it's faith above deeds. And you know, we have this concept of mercy and effort. It always takes both. It's not enough just to pray to Krishna. You know, please Krishna, sort this out. We have to make the effort as well. One time, Guru Kripa asked Prabhupada, what does mercy mean? And Prabhupada said, it means when I push you. It's when I push you, you know, to get you moving, to get you going, to get your momentum up, you know, and you start doing things. So it's also like I was thinking how a baby, when the baby's learning to walk, the baby doesn't learn to walk straight away. The baby stands up, falls down, stands up, falls down. And after a while, it starts standing up more than it's falling down. And eventually, it's standing up all the time. It's in control. So we're not the controllers. Sometimes we're trying to do something and we fail. But if we have that, you know, purity and innocence and sincerity, we just get back up and try again. And if we fall down again, we get back up and try again, just like the baby eventually starts walking. You can take a lot of inspiration from watching a little baby learn to walk. And it's making so much effort. The desire has to be matched by the effort for the success to come. So these are some of the kind of points I've kind of raised on this pastime. There are many more, but these are a few. Is there any comments or questions?